Thanks for coming. The scripture reading I picked this morning is found in John 10, 1 through 4. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep gate pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And then twice more in this same chapter here, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So, are we sheep who recognize the master's voice? Some nodding, some not. Well, what brought me to this idea of this sermon is, you know, we're bombarded all day long with all kinds of things. Things we hear, things we read, things we see, things we don't want to hear, all manner of things. It feels like constant noise from every side. But the truth is, it influences the way we think. Very much so, whether we like it or not. But in the midst of all that, there's the one voice that we need to hear, and that's the voice of our Master, the voice of God. And so today, I thought I'd go through some things here, and maybe we could review some pointers on how we could all sharpen our skills on that. When I think of the situation we're in, I think of that old illustration of the cartoon where there's the guy and then, you know, on his left shoulder is the devil whispering in his ear, and the right side is the, you know, the voice of right goodness in his ear. And that's kind of what we have here, to, you know, always in life. We have the devil who would like to influence. We have what is right from our God here. And then we have in our own head our own thoughts. You know, all day long we're constantly having conversations in our head. Tell me that's true. Tell me I'm not the only one that does that. Yeah, it's constant, right? I hope. It is for me anyway. But that becomes a very confusing struggle. It's chaos in there at times. And the enemy, he doesn't want us to hear our master's voice, right? So he's got lots of distractions. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy, the fleshly man inside. You know, I don't want to hear that either, because it doesn't agree with what I would like to do, you know, perhaps in a worldly sense. But we just read in the scripture there that God has promised to lead his children by his Spirit and enable us to know his voice. It's a promise. That means that we can learn how to know exactly what to do in every situation here. We don't have to go through life blindly making decisions based on our own emotions or something we've heard or the latest fad, that type of thing. Despite all these other worldly influences and noises, the good news for us is that God is speaking to us all the time, if we'll just listen. I'm convinced of that. It's the nature of God to speak. That's the way I see it. He wants to have fellowship with us, and he wants us to hear him all the time. But the reality and the bad news is we don't have to listen. We have a choice. We make a choice. Sometimes we don't even know we're making a choice, but we do not have to listen. And there lies the problem sometimes. All of us are hopefully on a progressive spiritual walk, that we're trying to grow every day, grow in our knowledge of the Word and how we respond to the Lord and listening closer to him. But It's not always the case, is it? But what we need for these things we're going to go over today to work is we need to have a great hunger to hear His voice and to pray. And we want to pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit on us to block out and quench some of these other things that are always bombarding us and trying to lead us away. And it requires training. And I guess that's kind of the point of what we're going to do today, is review some things that will help us train ourselves in such things. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher of the universe, better than John. He's able to bring any of this information to us on a level to match, I think, whatever level we're on our spiritual walk. If we're just a babe in Christ, the Holy Spirit can convey what He wants to in that way to us. And if we're more mature, same goes for that. I wanted to give one example before I get into some of the helpful tips here of how fast things can change, and I don't think we're immune to this either. I'll try and rip through this. This comes from Matthew 16. Jesus is talking here to, he says, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." So the Spirit of God revealed that. It wasn't something Peter came up with on his own or he had read. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Powerful. But, okay. Now, you just go down a couple more verses in the Bible. Here, Peter is greatly commended how the Holy Spirit has used him. He's been receptive to it. He embraced it as the truth. A couple more verses down here, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised up to life." Peter, same guy, took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Well, that quickly, Satan was able to put this thought, however you want to say it, into Peter's head. And here, the one that could respond correctly earlier, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," who knew the ultimate truth there, then Satan was using him as a mouthpiece. That's the way I see that. So I'm just saying, things can happen quick. You think one thing, you think, "Oh, I'm on the right path here," and boom. So this morning, let's look at some ways that we can use to determine if it's God's voice we're hearing. God, you know, can speak to us in many ways. In the Bible, we had dreams. I wrote some things down. Visions, scriptures, prophets, his audible voice. Some people actually heard him. Angels, miracles. There was a donkey that was talking. I'm sure there's other things. But today, let's focus more on the idea of what we're taking in, the way God would communicate with us now. In other words, from His Spirit to our spirit, and then our spirit to our mind, which we process. I think that's basically the way it works now. But to do these things that I'm going to talk about here. Think of it kind of like a checklist of you can use for a litmus test. You know, is this, you know, is this from God or is this something else? And these are just some things that I thought we would go over. It could be helpful in life. I hope they are. But they come with one caveat, I think, is you have to want, you have to desire to be sheep. You have to desire God's word. You have to desire to follow Him. I think the people that I'm speaking to now collectively want to do that, so we won't have to beat that part up anymore. But I've got a few things we'll go through here quickly, hopefully, but they're kind of, like I say, test, but hopefully you'll think of it as, if you have a thought and you're not sure about it, or maybe you're just trying to discipline yourself to go over some of these things and capture each thought and consider it first. The few things that I'm going to mention as skills we can use here, kind of a list, it has to really agree with all of these things. It really has to pass all these tests to me. In other words, you can't pick and choose. Well, it's convenient because as humans, we know we like to distort things into what we desire. Or maybe we don't even know we're being a mouthpiece for Satan. So anyway, let's get into this. The first one I have here is, the first test you would make if you were considering something that's going through your head, you weren't sure, does it agree with the Bible? That would be the very first one I would go with. God never contradicts His word. That's a constant in the universe. We can always count on that. Now, you have to know God's word, don't you? That would be very helpful to use this test on something. So that in itself should be something to encourage you for constant study in that. God is very consistent. If you ask yourself, does this thought or idea line up with what God's already said? You'll be doing pretty good starting right there. If you don't know much about the Bible, well, then there's other things we're going to get to that'll be helpful here as well. But always, 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 we can pray. Pray for the Spirit in any of these things. Pray for God's Spirit to reveal something to us, the truth to us, helping us understand something, guiding us to a scripture or a person that would help us with this. Truth is eternal. In Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's always true. It was true 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. It's true today. It'll be true 5,000 years in the future from now. God's word is always true. We have so many things in our lives that change. Opinions, technology, science, you know, all that's a progressive thing. At one point, people, for various reasons, were convinced of something. Once, you know, people thought the world was flat. Well, you know, maybe they had a reason to think that, but it was, I think, a pretty collective agreement on that. Later they learned it is not. That changes. God's word, God's truth, is the only thing we have in our life that's constant, that doesn't change. It's absolute. If we have thoughts like, well, how about, this is tax season, okay, how about, well, you know, I've got some strategy here to get out of paying taxes or pay less taxes or something. All right, remember, covered in the Bible. We're told to pay our taxes. It's a contrary idea to what God's will is. It's wrong. Very simple example. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, if you're a business owner or in business, full of great ideas about how to run an honest business that God would admire, to be true in your dealings, your scales, everything about that with your customers and such. And God will, if you get an idea to shave a little profit or something like that, that's not God's idea. No, that's the wrong thought. he's made it clear in his word these kind of things are wrong. Sex. Take sex in the Bible. God created and ordained that. It's one of the things. It's like a glue between a husband and wife to keep them together. But it clearly says in there, this is reserved strictly for a husband and wife in their marriage. People, I think, struggle with this all the time. And worldly people, they don't agree with that. Well, that may be, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't pass this checklist. Does it agree with the Holy Word? Does it agree with the Bible? It's that simple. That's the great thing about our God. He makes all of these things available to us. He doesn't leave us wandering right or wrong. Should I, shouldn't I? Somebody comes up with a new idea, and there's new ideas in the world all the time. We see this, I think, we hear about it. I don't see it, but say in groups that meet as churches, that as maybe things in the world, politically correct, whatever, they want to bend a little to accommodate that, maybe, you know, not offend people. And I'll go so far as to say they wish to dilute the gospel over some of these consolations they want to make and pervert it to meet their desires. That's just not going to fly. In Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. God said it in his word. It's true, and God cannot lie. So that's your first checklist part. Does it agree with the Bible? Second one I would suggest is ask yourself, does this make me more like Christ? Jesus should be the standard we hold up and test every thought in our mind with. If we use him to test every thought, every opinion, every fad, every noise that comes into our head, if we use that, does this make me more like Christ? It's a pretty simple test, because I think you know the answer when you challenge most of those things, if you'll take the time to ask yourself that. Why would we do that? Because God's purpose in our life is to make us like Jesus. In Philippians 2:5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Jesus is our model. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's hard to do. Take each thought captive. Life happens fast sometime. Look earlier how we just read in the scripture, Peter went from one thing to the other. Very fast. When we test an idea like this, remember years ago they had those, I think, wrist things, and what would Jesus do on them, you know? That really is very applicable today. I mean, always has been, I'm sure, but, you know, just ask yourself, is that simple? What would Jesus do in this? Well, if you have any question in your mind about what he would do with it, go to the idea of the fruits of the Spirit. Those would all be things Christ-like, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does it match up with those things? What you're about to say, what you're about to do, does it match up with the fruits of the Spirit? Can you check it off on all one of those, every one of those things? In James 3:14-17. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Well, right there we've got two things that aren't from God, and we've got seven that are. If you harbor any of these negative things, God's going to be telling you one way or the other, that's not from me. That's not from me. Real wisdom is peace-loving. God said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Just the idea of something creating, promoting peace is a pretty easy test, isn't it? Gossip, that's not from God. Satan is the accuser, and when we are gossiping, perhaps we're accusing someone, rightly or not, but really, you're kind of just doing the devil's work for him. He's probably saying, thank you. You know, he's using you as a mouthpiece. Okay, third idea you can compare your thoughts to is, does my church family confirm it? Maybe you could use this on some longer range things. Say you're praying about some situation or something in your life or someone else, or maybe you're just praying for wisdom, but you're still not sure you have the answer from God, or you're not clear, or you don't, maybe you're convicted of an answer but you don't agree with it, and you're like, oh, I don't know. If you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you can talk to about such things, this is another test where it'll validate, because if you're talking with, you know, mature believers, they are going to pray about it as well. They likely won't answer you immediately. If wisdom is in play there, they'll oftentimes listen to you and pray with you about it and get back with you. Maybe they're going to search some scripture to lead you to. Maybe they're being used through God to help you with this as well. It says in Ephesians 3:10, his intent was that now, through the church, it's us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The manifold wisdom of God. So really, we can be part of this manifold. We can be part of what funnels us to one another. If you have any problem with bringing up an idea you have or something you've been thinking about, maybe it's a great big decision in your life, and there's any hesitation to bring it up to church family, another believer, someone you trust, if you have any hesitation, well, that should be a great big red flag for you. If you're afraid to run this by them, that in itself should be something. This can really help us, I think, with pride issues, because what God wants for you is to save you. And of course, we know the devil is just the opposite of that. In Proverbs 11:9, with their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. Escaping from being wrong, wasting time, sometimes bad decisions and cause you lots of pain, embarrassment, in this case, can cost you your very life in that example. So that's how important advice from other godly people can be in our lives. And it also should bring up a point you should consider: what kind of people, what kind of company do you keep in life? just throwing that out there, but if most of your life you're spending around ungodly people, there's a lot of that noise going to sink into your head, you know, right or wrong. And some people say today, Sunday morning's the only time you get together with godly people. Say you're in that situation in your life. Where are you going to get a good advice and any counsel through the week? Especially if you don't have any other relationships. So consider that. In the Proverbs it says, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. You can't have too many counselors. I won't go any further with that. But the thing is, if you ask 10 people, do you think I'm on the right track here? And they say no, 10 trusted people. Well, don't go asking another 90 just so you can try and find one person, you know, to tag on to this. Isn't that the whole problem with the world we live in now with social media and such? People can quickly reach out to the world, which is not where you want to get your advice. They can get all manner of people to validate some crazy idea they have. We've seen it happen. Some of us are victims of it. So you definitely don't want to go there. Seek people trying to follow Christ and get them to help you test your impressions of whatever's thoughts in your life. It's being humble, being submissive to one another, I think that's what makes us teachable. You know, when we're willing to have an idea checked by somebody else, that's, you got to be pretty humble to do that. Okay, the next one is, does it concern my responsibility? Yeah, I thought this was a good idea at first, but I don't know. But I've got some notes here on it, so we'll go about it. But what I want you to think about is, why should God talk to you about something that's not your responsibility? I mean, you know, lots of people are going to tell you lots of things that are based on nothing other than they're just talking. And in fact, we all know people in life who are not good listeners. They're just talkers. When you're talking and trying to have a conversation with them, they're really just waiting for you to shut up so they can keep talking. They're not even listening to you. Don't be that person with God. We can't have that relationship with God. You've got to be willing to be listening. I've got some scripture here maybe that'll back up this idea of, does it concern my responsibility? Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Remember that? Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? In other words, Jesus has just told Peter how life was going to end for him, how he would be martyred for Jesus. His reaction then is, he's going here and saying, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered him, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You know, you must follow me, he says. In other words, mind your own business. There's times that applies. Think about that. When you get some thought in your head like, oh, I need to tell Ralph and get him tuned up here. Really? Do you? Does that really fly? This scripture is kind of a cautionary tale. I think we must be very careful when we think we are being used to instruct someone else. I'm not saying that it isn't a role sometimes the Spirit puts on us. I just want you to be very cautious about how you play that card and when. Lots of prayer, Lots of prayer on that one, long before you open your mouth. In Romans 14:4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Be patient and pray. Pray that they will be receptive when God tells them directly. God can use you to confirm what he's been telling someone else, but God usually uses you without you being aware of it. And if you think back in your life, that's probably pretty true. Sometimes you could be having a conversation, you could be in a Bible study. If people are paying attention, you could bring out a point that maybe has been revealed to you at some point, and they could have that aha moment. Maybe they don't even tell you about it. They could have that aha moment for them about, oh, I understand the scripture, or I understand more what we're talking about. We can be used like that oftentimes silently, you know, as long as what's coming out of us is the truth and the word of God and is to build up other people and is to represent the fruits of the Spirit. You can silently probably affect people. Maybe they'll tell you years later. Maybe they'll tell you right then, but just don't take on the idea that I'm here to correct everyone in the world. And in Romans, a couple of places here, it says, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. In the 14th, verse 13, it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way. Okay, we're almost done here. Next thing to consider is, if you hear a message and you think this is from God, something you've been weighing on, praying on, hold it up to this test. Is it convicting or is it condemning? Conviction comes from God, you know, to correct us, but that's because he loves us. He's the ultimate father. He's the great parent, right? That's the time that conviction comes from him. He'll say something in the order of, you need to change this. That would be a good conviction, a very positive conviction. Condemnation comes from Satan. You know, it attacks our values. It makes us feel bad about ourselves. It can destroy hope. Anything that's condemnation comes from the devil. So you can ignore that. You can spit that out. You can be on guard against that. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So any other noise like that in your head is coming from the devil. God never attacks your values. He'll point out your sin, of course, but he's never going to attack our values. You're his child. We're all his child, the one he loves. And that's just not the way God speaks. He's going to encourage us. Condemnation, you know, we can really associate that with that dark cloud of guilt. There's times in our lives maybe we're suffering from that. And that's the devil. What God does in our life when he's convicting us is like a pinpoint of light. You know, he points directly to what he needs you to deal with, to what he wants you to deal with. If you do your part, then you repent, and this is over. It's done with God. You know, Satan, he wants to drag on everything forever and ever. God's always saying to us, I'll help you with this. I bring this up because of talking about change. If God is clearly pinpointing you need to change or give up something or not be around a certain bunch of people for your own good or whatever, God also is right there saying, I'm going to follow you through with this. I'm going to help you clear through. I'm going to provide you with the tools, the people, the help, whatever you need to accomplish that. God doesn't leave us hanging out there. Everything we need to make a correction that he might point out, he's going to make available to us. As soon as we change and confess and repent, that feeling we would have, which maybe we couldn't identify before, it was being separated from God by sin, that'll end. It doesn't last for an eternity. You're freed of it. You know, praise God, that's who he is. When we follow this repentance, Jesus, he takes any condemnation. He took it for us on the cross, right? That's what he did. We have forgiveness and we are set free. And it's the way God's awesome justice system works. Jesus took that for us. You know, in Revelation 12:10, we're told Satan is the accuser of believers. Don't ever forget that. Anytime you're wrestling in your mind that noise you're hearing there is confusing and you think that it's something condemning you for whatever reason, be able to separate that. God is not going to treat you like that. Satan, he likes to trick us, you know. He'll minimize something in our head in that conversation about, well, you know, like he did Eve, you know. He'll minimize some sin you're contemplating or something, you know. And then if you commit it, oh, then he's going to maximize that to you. And like, oh, how can you call yourself a Christian? You know, you just did that. He's just all about ruining thoughts in your head and condemning. Don't fall for that. That is not how a loving God, our loving God, treats his children. So don't fall for that. And the last thing to consider that I have listed down here anyway is, if you have a thought, you're weighing or wrestling, ask yourself this: do I sense God's peace about this thought? If you're feeling pressure or anxiety about something or whatever it is, it will keep your attention off what's important, serving God. And the problem usually is you're caught up in yourself, some worldly thing you're involved in or whatever, you're caught up in that and you're not listening to God. That's why you don't have this peace. I know it's tough because things come at us all the time. Inputs. Some of them we need to curb and keep them from just coming in. And other things, it's just part about living in the world we're in. We live in a broken world, and that's just part of it. So use these kind of tools. The Bible says this about God. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. He is not. If something else like that is happening in your head, it's not from God. It's not God speaking these voices in your head. You know, 99% of the time, I think, you know, what God is telling us every day through his Spirit, through many ways that it communicates with us, 99% of it, I'm convinced, you know, is encouragement. Of course, we're his children he loves. It's encouragement. And the little tiny percent that he has to correct us on is what it is, that we need that. We should say praise God that he does that. But if you're struggling in life at times with things where you just think, you know, oh, I think dark clouds are a good thing. I felt that way, certainly or not, you know. God, that's not God approved. That's not something he wants for you. You need to start looking somewhere else to cure this up. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, that's pretty big, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the last scripture here comes from Proverbs 22:17. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. So there are some tools maybe you can use next time you have something going on in your head, or you're praying about something and you're not sure of the answer, or you want to sharpen your skills about just this day-to-day interaction. You know, your conscience, if you'll listen to it, the Spirit of God will work through you. You'll know when you're saying or doing something please God. And if your goal is to get to know God more every day, which it should be, get to know His Word more every day, you'll get better and better at this. And we have each other. Amen? Amen. That's the point of the church. We have each other. We're not alone in this. That's not how God wanted it. That is no way you could read His plan. So thank you for listening. And